It's been a few weeks since our last message from the Book of Revelation, the series that we've been working on for several weeks now. We took a little break the last couple of weeks to look at the scriptures surrounding Palm Sunday and Easter. But today, we're going to be picking up the action in Revelation where we left off 3 weeks ago. Chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation tell us the story of two Babylons. One, of course, is religious. We studied that in our last message from Revelation. And the other is economic and political. Now, the one thing that both of these Babylons have in common is that they will both be destroyed. In our last message from this book, we did cover chapter 17. We saw the destruction of this false religious system of Babylon. We learned a few things about it. We learned that this false religious system will be centered in the city of Rome, and that for the first 3.5 years, not only will the Antichrist tolerate this false religion because it's helping to further his agenda, this false religion will be actually the state religion. It'll be the world religion in those days, and you will either get on board or you will suffer the consequences. Now, somewhere near the middle of the 7-year tribulation period, we saw that the Antichrist and the kings of the earth, they will rise up against religious Babylon and they'll destroy it. See, Satan's goal has always been to be worshipped as God. So for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist, he's going to bide his time. He'll let religious Babylon go on so long as it suits his purpose. But at the middle of the tribulation period, he and the kings of the earth will rise up against this organized religion. They will completely annihilate it. And it will be at that time that the Antichrist will go to Jerusalem, into the rebuilt temple. He will declare that he is God and demand that everyone bows down and worships him. That will set in motion all of the rest of the terrible events that occur in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, today, as we move into chapter 18, we're going to see the fall of the economic and political Babylon. This system will be the center of business for the Antichrist. It'll be a city that is so rich and so powerful, the earth will have never seen anything like it. It'll make New York City look like Tombstone, Arizona. This city is going to be the most powerful city on the face of the earth. But it will be destroyed once and for all at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we're about to read the verses that cover the destruction of this powerful city and this powerful economic system, we're going to see two very different reactions. Here on earth, the businessmen and merchants are going to weep and mourn at the destruction of Babylon. But in heaven, we're going to see that people are rejoicing because of the destruction that happens to that city. So now that the stage is set, let's get into our message today, which is entitled The Tale of Two Babylons, Part 2. John begins here in chapter 18 by telling us that he saw an angel coming down from heaven. But if you look at these verses, this is no ordinary angel. This angel was very mighty. We're told that he had great authority and that the earth was illuminated by his presence. He's come to make a special announcement. And in verse 2, we see what that is. This mighty angel cries out in a loud voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Now, if you remember back several weeks when we were in chapter 14, we saw another angel make this same announcement. But here, we're going to be given a lot more detail about what actually happens. Remember, the book of Revelation, and not only that book, but many other books in the Bible, many times we'll be given the story about something kind of in short form, and then in the following chapters, we'll go back to that event and have many more details about it, so it makes more sense to us. That's exactly what happens here in chapter 18. This angel goes on to say about Babylon, "She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird." That is a great and powerful economic system is going to be centered in a city that the Bible refers to once again as Babylon. Now, some say, well, in order for this to happen, there's going to have to be a city rebuilt on the same location that the original kingdom of Babylon resided, which, of course, most of you know by now at this point in our study, that is in modern-day Iraq. Now, I don't know if this great city of Babylon that's going to be the economic center of the world one day will be rebuilt on the ruins of the original Babylon. I don't know. But with as much oil that comes out of that part of the world, I can certainly see where the money could come from to build such a city. But wherever this city's located, it is going to be a business center that is a testimony to what man does when he lives without God. You see, when a man doesn't have God in his life, he tends to make money and material possessions and power his God. And as a result, we're told that Babylon became a home for demons, unclean and evil spirits. See, anytime a man seeks to live apart from God, you can rest assured the devil will be more than happy to come and keep you company. Now, in verse 3, we begin to see part of the reasons that God's judgment is falling on Babylon. For all nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of earth have committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. What does that mean? The nations have been made drunk with the maddening wine of her adulteries, and the kings of the earth have committed adultery with her. This is talking about spiritual adultery. Anytime people turn from God and begin to worship idols or false gods or money or power, God refers to that as committing adultery against him. You're putting something else before God. We also see here that this is God's judgment on big business, because big business here denies God's authority. See, these men are putting a lot more emphasis on making money and having power than they are on recognizing God for who he really is. And because of that, they're being judged. Even today, business is the biggest excuse men have for not having time for God. Oh, well, you know, I gotta make this deal right now. Or I need to take care of this first so I can get my finances together, and then I'll have time for God. And as a result, many of us live very unfulfilling lives. There's going to come a day when all men will stand before God to be judged. And in that day, there's going to be a whole lot of rich and powerful men wishing that they had made their priorities a little bit different. Now, in verse 4, we're told that John hears a voice from heaven. Most Bible scholars agree that this is actually the voice of the Lord Jesus talking from heaven. And he says about Babylon, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues." Who is Jesus talking to here when he says, "Come out of her, my people"? Now, if you've been here for the majority of these messages early on, you know he's not talking to us. He's not talking to the church, because we will have already been taken out of this earth before the tribulation even begins. We know from our previous studies that many people will come to faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation. Some will be martyred for their faith. Others will live through the entire 7-year tribulation. These are the folks that the Lord is talking to here, these tribulation saints. He's saying, come out of Babylon, because the Lord is about to judge this city. This is very similar to the warning that we see Lot given in Genesis chapter 19, when the angels warned him to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah before the Lord destroyed it. Now, beginning of verse 5, we see some additional reasons for God's judgment against Babylon. We're told that her sins are piled up to heaven, and that God has remembered her crimes. Give her back as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury that she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, "I sit as a queen. I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." What we have here is a big business philosophy that, hey, as long as the money's rolling in, we don't need God. Look at rich men today who don't have time for the Lord. It's just like this system of Babylon. I sit here as a queen, not a widow. I will never mourn. It hasn't been that many years ago. Remember, the Dow Jones was up over 14,000. People were making all kinds of money. If you had any money invested in the stock market, 26, 27% interest return was kind of the rule of the day. And then those terrorists flew those planes into our buildings, and the stock market went in the gutter. And it certainly hasn't fully recovered yet. In one day, things changed. Now, I'm not saying that that was fulfillment of this prophecy. That's not what the scripture's talking about at all. But it's proof that literally things can change dramatically in a very short period of time, as they did on that day for this country. It's going to be a whole lot more extreme than that when Babylon falls. See, Babylon has a very long history of sin, going back all the way to the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis when it was founded. You know, sometimes, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, it seems like God delays his judgment against evil people and against evil ways for a lot longer than we would like. We want God to do what we want him to do, and we want him to do it right now. But what we need to keep in mind is God's judgment is coming. And when it does, he will set everything right. But it's going to happen according to his timeline. The prosperity of economic Babylon will be judged, and it will fall. Trading on the stock market in those days is going to be active. Money's going to be made hand over fist. People are going to be getting rich. They won't have any time for God. Only God's witnesses in those days are going to warn people about what's coming. And they're going to be branded as naysayers and nuts. Just like Noah was when he started building that big boat back in Genesis. And just like a lot of Christians are today. But just like in the days of the flood, God's judgment will be swift and it will be complete. We're told that Babylon will be overtaken in one day and consumed by fire. As a result, death, mourning, and famine will quickly come to what once was the most powerful city on the face of the earth. Beginning in verse 9, we see how the world reacts to the destruction of Babylon. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared in her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come." In chapter 17, we saw that the kings of the earth, they hated religious Babylon. They teamed up with the Antichrist to destroy that religious system. But they love economic Babylon because she made their positions of power and authority and all their money possible. Here in chapter 18, we see these men mourning over the loss that they're gonna feel in those days. See, for a short time, these guys are going to live like kings. But when Jesus returns and Babylon is destroyed, these guys are going to be trying to get out of town like rats leaving a sinking ship. We're told here that Babylon will be completely destroyed in 1 hour. Now, is that a literal 60 minutes? I don't know for sure. But we're going to see that three times in this chapter, we're told that Babylon will be destroyed in 1 hour. So whether it's a literal 60 minutes or not, I don't know. But I do know it's going to be a very quick judgment. It's going to happen very, very quickly. In verses 11 through 17, we see that it's not just the kings of the earth, not just the men in power, in political power, who are going to be mourning over the destruction of Babylon. The merchants and businessmen who made fortunes selling their cargo and their merchandise, they're going to be weeping and mourning as well. We're told here that they will mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. And then in these verses, we're given a long list of things that were once sold in this great city. See, Babylon had every material thing that you could possibly imagine. It was basically a one-stop shop for the desires of the human heart. Let's take a run through this list, and it's almost like you're at a huge shopping mall. If you look at these verses, you see that we begin in the jewelry department. They've got merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. From there, we move into the ladies' apparel, where we see fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth. Next, we move into the luxury gift department, where we see items made of ivory, precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. From there, we go to the spice and cosmetic counter. What do we have? Cinnamon and perfumes and ointments of every kind. Next, we go to the liquor department in the pastry center, where we have wine, olive oil, fine flour, and wheat. See, this is the food of the rich during the tribulation. We already know from way back in the beginning of Revelation, when the black horse of famine rides into the world, most people are going to be starving to death. We've seen that people are going to be dying of hunger in those days, but not the rich folks. They're going to have whatever they want to eat. From here, we move to the meat counter. What do we see? Cattle and sheep. See, up until the time when Babylon's destroyed, the rich folks are going to have porterhouse steaks and lamb chops anytime they want. But the regular blue-collar folks and the lower middle class and the poor, they're literally going to be starving to death. How about a new car? You see right here what they're selling? Horses and carriages are sold in Babylon as well. They got it all. But probably the most troubling item on this list is the last one. The bodies and souls of men are bought and sold. See, during the tribulation, when the Antichrist is in power, human life isn't going to be worth very much at all. Men and women are going to be considered as nothing more than property to be bought and sold and traded. But just when it looks like all is well, for those who are doing business, Babylon is going to be completely and immediately annihilated. We're told that the merchants who sold all of these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls." Once again, in 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. You see, the kings of the earth, the merchants, the businessmen, even the sea captains who once sailed their ships into the harbors to unload their freight are going to weep and mourn for the financial loss that they're suffering. These verses say that every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads, and with weeping and mourning, they will cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth." One more time, in 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin. This is the third time we see that the scriptures say Babylon will be completely destroyed in 1 hour. When the Lord returns, judgment will fall very quickly. Babylon will be destroyed and burned in very short order. Now, all of this has an application for us today. How do you view the luxuries of this world? Are you able to use the things that this world has to offer without letting them take control of your heart and your mind? If all these material luxuries that we have today were to go up in smoke, would it break your heart? Would you weep and would you mourn? Or do you have your heart focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, how you answer that question is going to determine how you live your life. It's going to play a major part in the decisions you make. Are you living for money and wealth and material possessions, for houses and cars and big bank accounts? or are you living to serve the Lord? That's the important question. Now that we've seen how the world reacts to the destruction of Babylon, let's take a look at how heaven reacts. See, the viewpoint in heaven, it's complete opposition. It is in complete opposition to the viewpoint here on earth. We're told that the businessmen cry and mourn, but up in heaven, this ain't a funeral procession. This is a celebration. Verse 20 says, "Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you." The world hated and persecuted the servants of God, and now God is avenging their blood. That's what we see happening here. Beginning of verse 21, we have more details about the fall of Babylon. John says, "Then a mighty angel picked up a huge boulder that was the size of a giant millstone." These are the big stones that they use to grind grain in the mills. And he hurled that boulder into the ocean. And he said, "With this same kind of violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again." See, God's judgment is not only quick, it's going to be final. This angel goes on to say, "The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again." See, there's not going to be any singing or happy music in that day. The nightclubs and honky-tonks that used to rock around the clock, they're going to be desolate and deserted. They're going to be gone. We're further told here that no workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. What does that mean? It means all construction projects are going to cease and desist. Factories are going to close their doors. Babylon is going to turn into a ghost town. The scriptures say the light of a lamp will never shine in you again. All the neon lights on Broadway, all the flashing signs at the casinos, they're going to be turned off forever. And then the saddest part, the voice of the bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. All of the happiness and rejoicing that we see at a wedding ceremony, it's going to be replaced by weeping and mourning. Weddings are a happy occasion. We had a little wedding here last night. It was just the bride and the groom and a couple of witnesses. But there was enough happiness to fill this whole sanctuary. Those feelings are going to be replaced with feelings of despair. Now, we know from our previous studies on this book that, once again, I want to make this abundantly clear. If you're visiting today and you're getting a little scared or worried about what you're hearing here, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the scriptures declare and promise none of us are going to be here to go down with the fall of Babylon. We will be raptured into heaven before any of these events begin. And that's not what I say. That's what the Holy Bible declares to be true. So while we never have to worry about being here in Babylon when it falls, it is possible for a child of God to become entangled in the sins of Babylon even today. See, Paul warned believers about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. He said, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness?" The obvious answers there are nothing and none. Many preachers have said over the years that we have to be in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. See, if we want to avoid the sins of Babylon, then the thing we need to do is stay out of Babylon to begin with. Now, in this world of immediate gratification, charge cards, low interest rates, and easy payment plans, emphasis on plasma screens and fancy rims for your car and all the other things out there that are just ridiculous that we spend money on, sometimes it's a hard thing to do to stay out of Babylon. But the scriptures declare that the reward will certainly be worth the effort. So as chapter 18 comes to an end, we see that the Antichrist's financial kingdom of Babylon comes to an end right along with it. Now, next week, we're going to pick up the action right here. We're going to jump into chapter 19, and we will see the verses that describe for us the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to examine all the other events that his second coming puts into motion. And I hope and pray that you can be here with us next week to see how this ends up. Let's pray.